Welcome to Tales of Wonder. I'm Mardell, and here is the final chapter of Granny's Wonderful Chair by Frances Brown. Chapter 6, Prince Wisewit's Return. King Winwealth was so pleased with the stories told by the wonderful chair that he gave Snowflower many presents, among which was a golden girdle, and promised that she should go no longer into low company, but feast with him and his nobles in the chief hall, and sleep in one of the best rooms of the palace. Snowflower was delighted at the promise of feasting with those noble lords and ladies, whose wonderful story she had heard from the chair. She bowed very low and thanked King Winwealth from the bottom of her heart. All the company were glad to make room for her, and when her golden girdle was put on, little Snowflower looked as fine as the best of them.
"Mama,"
whispered the Princess Greedlein, while she looked ready to cry for spite.
"Only see that low little girl who came here in a coarse frock and barefooted, what finery and favor she has gained by her storytelling chair. All the court are praising her and overlooking me, though the feast was made in honor of my birthday. Mama, I must have that chair from her. What business has a common little girl with anything so amusing?"
"So you shall, my daughter," said Queen Wantall, for by this time she saw that King Winwealth had, according to custom, fallen asleep on his throne. So calling two of her pages, Screw and Hard Hands, she ordered them to bring the chair from the other end of the hall where Snowflower sat, and at once made it a present to Princess Greedlein. Nobody in that court ever thought of disputing Queen Wantall's demands, and poor Snowflower sat down in a corner to cry, while Princess Greedlein, putting on what she thought a very grand air, laid down her head on the cushion, saying, "Chair of my grandmother, tell me a story."
"Where did you get a grandmother?" cried the clear voice from under the cushion, and up went the chair with such force as to throw Princess Greedlein off on the floor, where she lay screaming, a good deal more angry than hurt. All those at court tried in vain to comfort her, but Queen Wantall, whose temper was still worse, vowed that she would punish the impudent thing and sent for Sturdy, her chief woodman, to chop it up with his axe. At the first stroke, the cushion was cut open, and to the surprise of everybody, a bird, whose snow-white feathers were tipped with purple, darted out and flew away through an open window.
"Catch it, catch it!" cried the queen and the princess.
And all but King Winwealth, who still slept on his throne, rushed out after the bird. It flew over the palace garden and into a wild common, where houses had been before Queen Wantall pulled them down to search for a gold mine, which Her Majesty never found, though three deep pits were dug to come at it. To make the place look smart at the feast time, these pits had been covered over with loose branches and turf. All the rest of the company remembered this, but Queen Wantall and Princess Greedlein, they were nearest to the bird, and poor Snowflower, by running hard, came close behind them. But Fair Fortune, one of the king's pages, drew her back by the purple mantle. When coming to the covered pit, branches and turf gave way, and down went the queen and the princess. Everybody looked for the bird, but it was nowhere to be seen. But on the common, where the people saw it alight, there stood a fair and royal prince, clad in a robe of purple and a crown of changing colors, for sometimes it seemed of gold, and sometimes of forest leaves. Most of the people stood not knowing what to think. But all the fairy people and all the lords and ladies of the chair stories knew him and cried, "Welcome to Prince Wisewit!" King Winwealth heard that sound where he slept and came out glad of heart to welcome back his brother. When her own pages came out with ropes and lanterns to search for Queen Wantall and Princess Greedoland, they found them safe and well at the bottom of the pit, having fallen on a heap of loose sand. The pit was of great depth, but some daylight shone down, and whatever were the yellow grains they saw glittering among the sand, the queen and the princess believed it was full of gold. They called the miners false knaves, lazy rogues, and a score of bad names beside, for leaving so much wealth behind them, and utterly refused to come out of the pit, saying that since Prince Wisewit was come, they could find no pleasure in the palace, but would stay there and dig for gold, and buy the world with it for themselves. King Winwell thought the plan was a good one for keeping peace in his palace. He commanded shovels and picks to be lowered to the queen and princess. The two pages, Screw and Hard Hands, went down to help them, in hopes of halving the profits. And there they stayed, digging for gold. Some of the people about the court said they would find it. Others believed they never could. And the gold was not found when this story was written. As for Prince Wisewit, he went home with the rest of the company, leading Snowflower by the hand, and telling them all how he had been turned into a bird by the cunning fairy Fortunetta, who found him off his guard in the forest, how she had shut him up under the cushion of that curious chair and given it to old Dame Frostyface, and how all his comfort had been in little Snowflower, to whom he told so many stories. King Winwealth was so rejoiced to find his brother again that he commanded another feast to be held for many days. All that time the gates of the palace stood open. All comers were welcome, all complaints heard. The houses and lands which Queen Wantall had taken away were given back to their rightful owners. Everybody got what they wanted most. There were no more noises of strife without nor discontents within the palace, and on the last day of the feast, who should arrive but Dame Frostyface in her gray hood and cloak? Snowflower was right glad to see her grandmother. So were the king and prince, for they had known the dame in their youth. They kept the feast for a few days more, and when it was ended, everything was right in the kingdom. King Winwealth and Prince Wisewit reigned once more together, and because Snowflower was the best girl in all that country, they chose her to be the heiress instead of Princess Greedoland. From that day forward, she wore white velvet and satin. She had 7 pages and lived in the grandest part of the palace. Dame Frostyface, too, made a great lady. They put a new velvet cushion on her chair, and she sat in a gown of gray cloth, edged with gold, spinning on an ivory wheel in a fine painted parlor. Prince Wisewit built a great summer house, covered with vines and roses, on the spot where her old cottage stood. He also made a highway through the forest, that all good people might come and go there at their leisure, and the cunning fairy Fortunetta, finding that her reign was over in those parts, set off on a journey round the world, and did not return in the time of this story. Good boys and girls who may chance to read it, that time is long ago. Great wars, work, and learning have passed over the world since then, and changed all its fashions. Kings make no 7-day feasts for all comers now. Queens and princesses, however greedy, do not mine for gold. Chairs tell no tales. Wells work no wonders, and there are no such doings on hills and forests, for the fairies dance no more. Some say it was the hum of schools, some think it was the din of factories that frightened them. But nobody has seen them for many a year, except it is said one Hans Christian Andersen in Denmark, whose tales of the fairies are so good that they must have been heard from themselves. It is certain that no living man knows the later history of King Winwealth's country, nor what became of the people who lived and visited at his palace. Yet there are people who believe that the king still falls asleep on his throne, and into low spirits in the evening, that Queen Wantall and Princess Greedolind have found the gold and begun to buy, that Dame Frostyface yet spins, they cannot tell where, that Snowflower may be still seen at the New Year's time, in her dress of white velvet, looking out for the early spring, that Prince Wisewood has somehow fallen under a stronger spell and a thicker cushion, that he still tells stories to Snowflower and her friends, and when cushion and spell are broken by another stroke of Sturdy's hatchet, which they expect will happen sometime, the prince will make all things right again and bring back the fairy times to the world. This ends season one of Tales of Wonder. Please join me for more magical stories of enchantment in season two.